But get your Bibles out this morning. Let's get ready to get in the Word. Appreciate Trey sharing today. And last Sunday was a productive Sunday. Man, good time. Everything came together. It was awesome. It's always awesome to be a part of something like that. So we've been talking about, in this last song that they sang this morning, kind of just set this up. I mean, I want to just say this to you this morning. It's not what you're facing. It's not what you're going through. It's not even sometimes what you think concerning yourself that matters. It's what He thinks about you. It's what He says about you. It's what He's declared that you will accomplish and be. Here's the truth of the matter. God does not look at our failures to qualify us for His victory. In fact, if we think God is going to choose us like we're on a playground and getting ready to play a game of kickball, and He's going to choose us based upon who is the best, I'm here to tell you this morning, that's not how He works. The Bible says He chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. He wants to do something in your life so incredible that you don't get any credit for it. It says we have this incredible treasure. This treasure, the power of God, the faith on the inside of us, His Spirit on the inside of us. We have this incredible treasure, the Bible says, on the inside of earthen clay vessels. And it tells us why. So that the excellence of the power, so that how we do what we do, may be by the power of God and not from us. When you think about all the people in the Bible, you think of David. You say, man, he was a man of war and he slayed the giant. Yeah, he also had incredible failures in his life. He ordered the murder of a soldier to cover his tracks. And the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. When you look at the Apostle Paul, who we read, the majority of the New Testament was written by his hand in prison. Here's a man that wanted to stop the church in its infancy. Was trying to abort the plan of God that Jesus came to establish in birth. Here he is literally going into houses. It'd be like if he was living today, he would go in your house, my house, and drag us out under the street where the mob would grab us because of our faith in Christ. And God used him to bring such incredible revelation into our life, into the church's life. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not what we're going through that qualifies us. It's the God on the inside of you that gives you the ability to do what God's called you to do. And that we accomplish by faith. I love that song. We even said it. I believe. I believe. It's not what we see. It's what we believe that makes the difference. Can you say amen? Look at this here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It says, by faith we understand. By faith we understand that the universe or the world was created by God's word. So that what can be seen was made out of what cannot be seen. Matthew 4:4 says this, but he answered and said, Jesus answered the serpent when he was tempted, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It doesn't say just by every word of God. It says, but every word that what proceeds out of God's mouth. The word proceed means to go forth. The word there in the Greek is the word rhema. In Matthew 4:4, where it says, but by every word, that word comes from the Greek word rhema, and it means a thing spoken or a spoken word. You know, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, we've been looking at this scripture as our foundational scripture. It says, for whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world, and this is the victory which overcometh the world, our faith. Our faith. You know, last Sunday morning I said, every mother has said this. In fact, I Googled it to see if I could find out who came up with this quote. You know, when your kids come to, and you've heard it probably from your parents, and you probably have used it too. You know, when the kids ask you, you say, you need to do this, go do this. And they say, why? Why do I need to do that? And the answer is what? Because I said so. And so I Googled that. And guess who gets the credit for that quote? Mothers everywhere, it said. There's no single person, just mothers everywhere. Well, there's times in our life where that has to be our mentality. Why is it going to be this way? Why am I going to be victorious when it seems like there is no opportunity or a possibility for victory? Why am I going to be on the mountaintop when I'm in the valley? Why is everything I put my hand to going to prosper? Why? Sometimes we just have to answer this. Because God said so. Because God said so. And this morning we're going to look at God's word. It says we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. Proceeds out of his mouth. His spoken word. There's a couple blanks on your sheet this morning if you got it. The word declares we are overcomers. The word declares that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's what God's word says. It says our faith overcomes the world. The victory which overcometh the world is our faith. Number one on your handout this morning, let's look at this here. We read there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Let's read it again. By faith we understand. By faith we understand. There's some things I want to understand this morning concerning God's word. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. The world was created by the word of God. So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. In Genesis 1:1, we know the story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, verse 3, let there be light. And there was light. We understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Number one on your handout, we understand. We need to understand some things concerning God's Word. We understand that what we see was created by God speaking a word. What we see, just look around this morning, what we see. If we're outside, we can see the trees. This morning when I came in, I saw about 15 deer crossing the road. They were just crossing the road, running along the tree row there. And as I pulled in, I actually kind of divided the herd. And some of them went back that way, and some of them went that way. And then all of a sudden, Jehovah came out of the trees going, why are you scaring my deer off? I'm hunting. No. If anybody's a friend with Joe on Facebook, he got him a really nice buck. But when we look at all those things that we see, the trees, the stars, the moon, the sun, the sky, and how that works. I mean, how the trees and the plants, they do their thing so that I can breathe. All of that was created by God speaking a word. We understand that what we see was created by God, something coming out of God's mouth. God said, let there be light, and what? Light was. Number two, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, there's some things we want to understand this morning. We want to perceive, to comprehend. The word understand means to perceive, to comprehend, to know. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says this, for the word of God is living, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Again, for the word of God is living, it's alive, and it's powerful. You know, I used to pray before this, before we get into the word, I used to pray that God would anoint his word. I used to pray that his word would be anointed, and that it wouldn't return void. But here's the thing. How can I pray for something that it already is? God's word is living. God's word is powerful. Amen? It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's interesting, this battle that we're engaged in, this life that we're living in the earth, we're engaged in a war. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare, your battle. Do you know you're battling every day you get up? You're battling the spiritual realm. You're battling the demonic spirits and different things in heavenly places. But the good news is the Bible says that we overcome. But it says in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, take up the whole armor of God. Take up the whole armor, not our armor, but the armor of God. That means we may be able to withstand all the attacks of the enemy. And one of those weapons, the Bible says, is the sword of what? Sword of the Spirit. Not the sword of the flesh, but the sword of the Spirit. And what is the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Now, we talked about we've got to not only just be on defense, we don't only have to be ready for the enemy's attack, we've got to go on the offense. Come on, we got to put him on the run. Can you say amen? You know, the other day, in my study time, the Spirit said, you've got to quit running. I mean, we've got to quit running from something and begin to pursue and run to something. There's so many people that run from their past. There's so many people that are living and running, trying to get away from something when the Bible says that we're supposed to be pursuing something, running to something. Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget those things that are behind and I reach forward to those things that are ahead. Come on, there's a difference. There's a difference when you're constantly saying, how can I do anything because look what I've done? How can I do anything because I just missed it? How can I do anything because I just got angry? How can I do anything because I just cussed? How can I do anything because I just got upset and yelled at my kids? How can I do anything? Quit running from your past and begin to pursue what God's called you to be. Can you say amen? Don't run from something. Run to something. What God says about you, we're going to see some things concerning His Word. It's His Word's living, and His Word's what? Powerful. Now remember, what we see was made from something that's not seen. Now, y'all see me today, right? Y'all see me talking, right? Y'all see me opening my mouth, closing my mouth? How many of you see the words coming out of my mouth? You can't see it. Just like God's Word, God is Spirit. And we may not see His spoken Word. It is living and it is powerful. And what we see was created and brought into existence through that powerful Word. Amen? Number 3, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. We read it just a moment ago, but let's look at it again. Jesus answered and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Number 2, did I give you number? Did they put number 2 up on the sheet? Number 3, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We live. You live, I live, Jesus declared it. By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Bible says all the promises of God are what? Yes and amen in Christ. Now, what I'm seeing is that we have the potential to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Or we have the potential to not live by God's promises. We have the potential to be all that God says we are. Or we have the potential to not be that. Here's the thing. God has always given us and designed us and created us with a choice. We can live according to what God says, or we can live based upon what the world says. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, the world would love to have you live out its plan for you. The world would love you to live according to its plan. Broken, rejected, cast out, cast down. Or we can live according to what God says. He says you're beloved. He says that you're His child. He says that you're the head, not the tail, above and not beneath God's promises. I love that song this morning. Even when I'm weak, he says I'm what? Strong. I just want to share this real quick, man, because I'm excited about it. It's not all there yet, but I've been meditating on and developing a message that's going to be coming up. And it's based upon the scripture where it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And that sounds, you know, the very first thing I think of until I started studying, the very first thing I began to think about, well godliness, that means that, you know, God being godlike, being saved, godliness with contentment, the contentment part. Godliness, I can hang in that, but the contentment part, what God's saying and the Spirit's saying, that you just have to be content, just content where you're at, content with what you've got. You're going to find out when we get in this study, that's not what it means. That word contentment, it appears twice in the New Testament. And it's so powerful. It's not about just doing with what you got. It's not about just being content with what you have. It's not about not desiring to be better. It's not about just saying, you know what, I'm happy where I am. In fact, what Paul's talking and teaching there is that there is a sufficiency. There is a sufficiency that each one of us can tap into. And that sufficiency is not in our own ability. There's a sufficiency that comes from the inside of us through the Spirit of God, to where literally we don't need anything on the outside to make us. That's godliness with contentment. We don't need anything outwardly to make us who we are. Now, I'm telling you, the world doesn't live this way, and probably the majority of Christians don't live this way. All of us live in this, in this mindset that we're always trying to win approval. We're always seeking approval. We're always trying to be approved. We're always trying to find somebody. I mean, we're trying to win people's approval all the time. And I'm telling you, godliness with contentment, and we're going to unlock that word contentment, Paul said, is great gain. There's an incredible freedom there. I'm excited about it. So anyway, let's go on. Number 4. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. Talking about the word of God. What we want to understand concerning God's word this morning. Verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Will we all agree with that? Anybody want to dispute that? That God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts? No, everybody can say, amen. Number 5, God's thoughts and ways are higher. God's thoughts and ways are higher. Okay? Now, one thing he did not say there is he did not say, well, we'll get into that in just a moment here. Number 5. He goes on in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10, and he begins to explain his thoughts concerning a certain thing. He said, "My thoughts and my ways are higher." And he gives us, in verse 10, he says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater." Now he's getting ready to reveal his thoughts and his ways concerning a certain thing. He said, "My thoughts are higher, my ways are higher." And now he's going to get ready to explain to us concerning one of those things that are higher, one of those ways that are higher. He says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth." In fact, Isaiah 55, verse 8, what he's talking about here is he's revealing to us, he says, "My ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your ways. In fact, let me show you one way that my thoughts are higher and one way that my ways are higher." He said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. In fact, let me show you one way that my thoughts are higher and my way is higher. Concerning my word that proceeds out of my mouth." God's getting ready to show, he's getting ready to reveal to us how he thinks about the word that comes out of his mouth. He's getting ready to reveal his thoughts concerning his word. We see the result of his spoken word. "Let there be light," and light was. We understand by faith that the worlds that we see were created by the Word of God, so that what we see was created by something that's not seen. We understand it. We've read it. But now God's getting ready to reveal to us how He thinks about the Word that comes out of His mouth. This is His higher thought. This is His higher way. So is my Word that goes out from my mouth. Notice, it, the Word that goes out from my mouth, will not return to me empty. But it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, we all agree His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Come on, can you say amen? But God, right after He said that, He revealed to us one of His thoughts that are higher and one of His ways that are higher. Now, here's what I know. Your thoughts determine your ways. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So as you think, that determines your way. God said, my ways are higher, my thoughts are higher. Now what I'm going to do is, He said here, I'm going to reveal to you how I think concerning the word that comes out of my mouth. He said, the word that comes out of my mouth, it, that rhema, that spoken word, it will not come back to me empty-handed. It will not come back empty. What that means there is it will accomplish. It will have an effect. And so God's thoughts concerning His Word is that when His Word leaves His mouth, it will have an effect. That if God, when the Word, let there be light, left His mouth, God was thinking this, it's going to happen. He's revealing through Isaiah His thought concerning His Word. He said, let me show you how my ways are higher, my thoughts are higher. I think that, my thought is this, that when the Word comes out of my mouth, it will go out of my mouth and have an effect. Now, a lot of times we don't even think that the words that come out of our mouth have an effect. We just say things all the time. We don't even know what we say sometimes. Sometimes we say things. We don't even know what we're saying. But I'm going to tell you this morning that your words have an effect. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. So you can release life or you can release what? Death. You can speak life over your day or you can speak death over your day. You can have a blue Monday if you want to. Come on. Or you can change that. Jesus said this, in the world you'll have blue Mondays, but be of good cheer. Because I've overcome the blue Mondays. Come on, can you say amen? You say, Pastor, it's not just a blue Monday tomorrow. It's a dark blue Monday because we've been off for how many days and now we've got to go back to work. Be of good cheer. Say it again, Pastor, I'll believe it. Be of good cheer. What we say out of our mouth has an effect. He said, it will not return. There's three things I want to see here this morning concerning God's Word and how He thinks about it. The first bullet point there is it will not return empty. It will not return empty. It means that it will have an effect. The second thing He says is, it will accomplish what I desire. It will not return to empty, but it will accomplish what I desire. It will accomplish what I desire. I'm going to tell you something this morning. We need to start speaking words not based upon what we see going on, but based upon what we want to see going on. Come on. It's easy to get up in the morning and it's easy to go through the day and speak based upon what you see. What did God see when he said, let there be light? He didn't see no light until the word came out of His mouth. And then what? Light was. He said, it will accomplish what I desire. And the third thing, it will achieve. Get a hold of this. This is God's thoughts. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? His ways are higher than our ways. This is His thoughts concerning His spoken word. It says, it will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, I'm just going to tell you this morning, based upon that, I need to elevate my thinking concerning the words that come out of my mouth. Because what God's saying is that when the word comes out of my mouth, it's going to have an effect. Okay, life and death in the power of the tongue. When the word comes out of my mouth, it will accomplish what I desire. Not what I see, but what I desire. And it will fulfill the purpose for which I sent it. Now, here's something where we can elevate our thinking concerning what we say. That what we say should be full of incredible purpose. Sometimes we just fly off the handle. We just say things. We reply certain things. We speak different things. A lot of times we repeat what we've heard. Maybe people in your life have said, you can't do anything. You can't amount to anything. Nothing ever good comes out of Nazareth. Come on, same things they said about Jesus. Who does he think he is? Isn't this Jesus? Isn't this the one that grew up among us? Isn't he from Nazareth? What's your Nazareth? The world is constantly saying things about you. Whether you have an education, don't have an education. A lot of times it's where you grew up, where you didn't grow up. How you grew up. Whether you had a broken home or the things that happened in your life growing up. All those things want to define you. All those things want you to identify with them. But I'm telling you this morning that the most powerful thing that we can do is to identify with the living, powerful Word of God and what God's Word says about you. And God can take a person that literally wanted to abort his eternal plan for the church. Why do you think Paul got knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus? You don't try to stop what God for thousands of years been prophesying about. He said, who are you? He said, Lord, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. So Paul had the opportunity to either get right or get left. Amen. And he got right. Look what God did. God took somebody that sat there and watched Christian men and women stoned to death, having that memory. Having that on his hands. Think about Paul's meetings in his book table. People coming up to him at the book table. Hey, how you doing? What's your name? My name's Johnny. Hey, Johnny, appreciate you coming out to the meeting. Yeah, yeah. He said, you probably don't remember me, do you? No. Well, I was Stephen's son. What's the one, you know, the one that you had murdered? God took that and turned it into something incredible. Can you say amen? I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not what the world is trying to identify you with, it's what God identifies you with. Can you say amen? Number five, God's thoughts concerning his spoken word. I will not return empty. It will accomplish what I desire. It will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now, we all agree that God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Can you say amen? We agree with that? Now, let me ask you a question. Anywhere in this Bible does it teach us that his ways cannot be my ways and his thoughts cannot be my thoughts? Mm-mm. That's not what it says there. He did not say in Isaiah, my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Sorry. That's not what he said, and that's not what Jesus taught. In fact, I want to say something to you. Jesus came, and he lived God's higher thoughts, and he lived God's higher ways. And God's higher thoughts and God's higher ways were astonishing to the people around Jesus. Like when they're in the boat, and they're bailing the water out, and they're about ready to die, and they wake Jesus up, and Jesus walks to the edge of the ship and says, peace be still, and the winds and the waves obey him. And all them that are in the boat say, what manner of man is this? That even the winds obey his spoken word. He was just living God's high thoughts and high ways. Come on, right? In fact, Jesus said, man, in Isaiah 55, God told you that his ways are higher than your ways and his thoughts higher than your thoughts. And he even said, sorry, you can't live that way. No, what did Jesus say? Jesus said after he rebuked the winds and the waves, he said, why were you full of fear and not faith? The day that Jesus walked by the fig tree and he spoke to the fig tree and he said, let no man eat from this fruit from you again. And they go on in the city and they come back by the next day. And as they're coming back by the tree, it says they were walking by and all of a sudden Peter noticed the fig tree. And all of his disciples said, look, man, the fig tree's withered up from the roots. And Peter remembered and he reminded Jesus. He said, Jesus, look at the fig tree that you cursed. And Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, disciples, come here. How long will I be with you? Do you not understand yet that I am the Son of God? And that only the Son of God can speak to trees. And only the Son of God can speak to the winds and the waves. And only the Son of God can walk on water. Only the Son of God can do those things. He never taught that. In fact, look at this here in Mark chapter 11, verse 20. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. And verse 22 says this, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt it in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it and it will be yours. Just opposite. Mark 11:20 is Jesus living and teaching Isaiah 55. Jesus was living it. He walked by the fig tree. He spoke to the fig tree died. He was living Isaiah 55. The next day when they came back by, Peter said, look at this. Jesus taught them how to live Isaiah 55. Jesus said, if anyone speaks to this mountain, go cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatsoever he saith. God said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your ways. But let me explain to you what my thought is concerning my word. When my word leaves my mouth, I expect it to have an effect. I expect it to accomplish what I desire. And I expect it to fulfill the purpose that I sent it to do. Look at this in Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Let's read this story about the centurion again here this morning with this in mind. Verse 1 says, and when he had completed all his words, Jesus here, in the hearing of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain servant of a centurion who was valued highly to him, being sick, was about to die. And the centurion, having heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, begging him that he would come, and he might save his servant. Having come to Jesus, they were begging him earnestly, saying, he's worthy to whom you will grant this, for he loves our nation, and he built the synagogue for us. I'm not sure what translation this is, but we're going to read verse 7. I'm going to just fill it in. So Jesus, he's speaking, and after he's done speaking, he goes to Capernaum, and there's a centurion there. A centurion is a Roman soldier. He has at least 100 men underneath him. That's the word centurion means, a hunter. And the Jewish people, he's friends of the Jewish people. In fact, he's built things for him. He built a synagogue for him. And he has a servant that's close to him. He has someone that's underneath him that's close to him and about ready to die. And so the centurion gets the Jewish elders of the area, and he says, could you go talk to Jesus? He's Jewish. Could you go talk to Jesus and see if he will do something about my servant? And so the Jewish elders go to him and they said, Jesus, this man's worthy. Jesus, this man's worthy. He is a friend of the Jews. He's built a synagogue. He's worthy. He's worthy. I know he's not Jewish, but he's worthy that you come and do something. So Jesus begins to go with them to the centurion's house. And before he arrives at the centurion's house, the centurion sends friends out before him. And when they get to Jesus, they stop and they say, you don't have to come. Now notice something. He sent his friends. First he sent the Jewish people and said, ask him. Then he sent his friends out to meet Jesus. Let me find it real quick in New King James. Verse 6. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Verse 7. Therefore I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. This is an incredible story, and there's an amazing truth in here. See, God said in Isaiah chapter 55, he said, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But he never said that you could not have my thoughts or have my way, walk in my ways. Jesus walked in his ways concerning his word. When Jesus spoke his word to the winds and the waves, he expected it to have an effect on the winds and the waves. He expected it to accomplish what he desired. He expected it to come back and fulfill the purpose that he sent it. Now, I want you to see something here. The centurion, he spoke to the Jewish leaders, and they went based upon his word. He spoke to his friends when Jesus was on his way there, and those friends went based upon the centurion's word. The centurion said, Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. All you have to do is say a word. Because I understand this, that I'm a man of authority, and I say this one go and he goes, and this one come and he comes, and this one do it and he does it. All you have to do is speak a word. And Jesus stopped and turned around to all the people that were with him, and the Bible says that he marveled. He was amazed. If you look at him in the Greek, it says he marveled. The Son of God marveled. The Son of God's like, whoa, wow. What he just said, guys, I'm telling you what, that's faith. That's faith. In fact, Peter, remember when we were at the tree? Remember when we were at the tree and I said, if you just say with your mouth and believe in your heart, not doubt, you'll have what you say? Did you hear what that centurion just said? That centurion said, you don't have to come to my house. All you got to do is say a word, and I know my servant will be healed. Jesus said, now that's faith. And I'm telling you, I've not even seen that type of faith in Israel. The centurion is living according to Isaiah 55. Jesus said, if you say, the centurion said, Jesus, you say. God said, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. My word. When I speak my word, I expect it to not return back empty. I send it with purpose, and it will accomplish my desire. Now, this morning, I'm going to encourage you to see your word that way, to see what comes out of your mouth that way. That what you speak and what you say, that you see it that way. First of all, what comes out of my mouth, it's not going to come back empty-handed. It's going to accomplish what I desire, not what's going on around me. And it's going to be full of purpose. And just real quick in closing this morning. God said his word will accomplish what he sent it to do. And centurion tapped into something. He said, there's no difference between Jesus coming to my house and Jesus sending his word. There's no difference. The centurion said, you don't have to come to my house. All you got to do is speak the word and I'll have the same result. Now here's what's incredible. We can do the same thing. Someone calls me up on the phone from back home in Kansas. I don't have to say, man, hang on. It will take me 14 hours to get there, but I'll get there. No, because I can get there instantly. Because I can speak a word. Now see, that I can either live on this level of man and look at Jesus speaking in the boat to the winds and the waves and say, who is that guy? That's crazy. Even the winds and the waves obey him. Or I can say this level, or I can step up here and walk in his ways and have the same thoughts that are higher than the thoughts down there, to where I say, you know what? If Jesus can do it, he taught me to do it. If the centurion saw that could be led away, if God says this is how it works, then I believe that when I say something out of my mouth, when it proceeds out of my mouth, it will not come back empty-handed. It will accomplish what I desire. And it will come back fulfilling the purpose that I sent it to do. Now, why do I want to send it? Because when I send my word in the realm of the Spirit, it's the same as if I were going to do it. Because the word and the person that it proceeds from is the same. It's very simple. I can send Tammy to do something. Tammy can send me. You can send me to do something. I use this example all the time. Write a check. Put your name on it. Leave it blank if you want to. Put my name on the top. Write it on there. If you have that money in that account, I can take that to your bank and walk in and say, Tammy Liker sent me, and she said, give me this amount of money out of her money. Give it to me. She sent me. And they may ask for an ID. Come on, right? But based upon, not based upon me, but based upon who sent me, they'll give it to me. Come on, can you say amen? We have to begin to see our words the same way God sees his words. Can you say amen? Father, we just thank you this morning. You know what's so incredible about the Christmas story? The manger, all those things, everything, the shepherd and all that stuff. What's so incredible is that a young woman who did not know a man, had a vision from an angel. And that angel spoke a word. That angel had a rhema from God. Just like the centurion sent his friends out to meet Jesus, God sent Gabriel to Mary. And he said, Mary, you're going to be with child. You're going to be with child. And Mary said, oh, whoa, hold on, angel. Let me inform you of something. I can't be with child because I've never been with a man. How's that going to happen? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. And the child that you will bring into this world will be known as the Son of God. And all those things, before the angel left, the quote's at the bottom of your paper there, Mary said, be it done unto me according to your word. Boom. That is the incredible miracle of Christmas. The rhema out of God's mouth. That message brought by an angel to a woman who knew no man. Received that word and changed the world. Can you say amen? Father, we just thank you this morning for your word, God. Father, I thank you that your ways are higher, but God, we can walk that highway. Father God, your thoughts are higher, but we can think that way too. Jesus taught us to do it. He revealed it to us. He lived by it. And even the centurion understood it. Father, open up our eyes to see, not our physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes, to see how powerful the words that come out of our mouth are. God, the spoken word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And Father, we need to watch the words that we say. Because God, they have an effect in our life. And not only in our life, but in others. Oh, I'm just encouraged. I'm encouraged before we go. Two things. One, be careful what you say over others in your life, especially those that are in and under your authority. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. We can fall into the trap, especially parents. Man, we can fall in the trap when the pressure's on, all that stuff, and everything's going on, and the kids aren't acting right, and they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing. Man, we can fall into that trap, and sometimes we can say things over them that we shouldn't say. Spirit of God just saying, encourage them to watch what they say. Release words of life over them. And then the next thing he wants me to encourage you before we leave is he's saying, watch what you say over yourself. Even the words that never come out of your mouth, the thoughts. Some of you are saying things over you, thinking things over you, declaring things over you that you would never declare over anyone else. You are someone. You are someone special. You do matter. You are important. You are valuable. You are precious. You are loved. Now, I'm not sure who that's for, but I'm telling you, I believe that those words that I just spoke combat words that you've said over yourself. You've said, I'm not important. I'm not valuable. I'm not precious. I'm not loved. No one cares about me. And we're going to combat those words today in Jesus' name. You are loved. You are valuable. You are precious. You are amazing. And you are loved. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stand up with me this morning. Amen. God bless you. I appreciate your attentiveness this morning. I'm going to dismiss you. Oh, I went a little bit long. Appreciate you being here. All the first-time guests, we're glad that you're here this morning. Amen. God bless you all. You're dismissed. We love you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. God bless you.